The joy of the Lord be your strength today. The Lord is in the midst of you, the shout of a king amongst you. Amen. Well, last week, we looked together at God forgiving us in Christ and the joy that accompanies that. And we learned not to second guess God's judgment of us and condemn ourselves after God's forgiven us, but let His word stand alone and for us to have joy in that. And what is His word? Ephesians 1 says, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace." And Romans 8 says, "There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Amen?
Amen.
So joy in that. This week I'd like to look with you at another aspect of forgiveness, namely us forgiving other people, their wrongdoings and sins against us, and especially when it's very hard to forgive. Is it sometimes hard to forgive?
Yes.
Have you, I want to ask you right now, have you forgiven everybody who's sinned and done you wrong in life? Have you canceled their debts to you? Set them free? Let them go? Forgiven them? Or do you hold on to the grudge? Keep them in prison and not let it go, but exact a toll and a judgment, at least in your heart. Seek revenge to get even the score and to settle accounts. Well, today let's let God talk with us about our forgiving of other people, their wrongs to us. Let's see what He teaches about that in His Holy Word of Scriptures. So first off, let's just look at a few things God tells us in Scriptures about forgiveness. First of all, how often should we forgive people? Well, we just read here a few moments ago, Matthew 18. Peter came up to Jesus and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times seven." So what's that equal? 490? Is that how many times we're supposed to forgive somebody? 490 times? Is there a limit? Seven is a word of completeness in the Scripture. The answer is always. It's not, you know, one, two, three strikes and you're out. Or one, two, three outs and the inning is over and you're done and not forgiving anymore. The word here from Jesus is always. Now, who should we forgive, do you think? Let's take a look here at another passage, Mark chapter 11, where Jesus says in verse 25 this. He says, "And whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses." So, based on that verse, you tell me, who should we forgive? If you have anything against anyone, that equals forgive everyone, everything. That's what God's will is for us. Not just the people who are kind of nice and made a little mistake, but everybody. And all the time. And notice, whenever you stand praying, so how often should you be forgiving people? I mean, let's say you pray three or four times a day. You should be forgiving three or four times a day if anything is in your heart where you're keeping somebody in prison, wanting to settle accounts, not forgiving them. God says, let it go. Cancel the debt. Set them free. Set yourself free. Three, four, five, 10 times a day. Keep it clean. Keep it going. Now, does that mean no really, really bad people or just kind of a little bit bad people, do you think? Well, let's take a look. What do we read here in Scripture about Stephen over here in Acts chapter 7? Let's look at him. He preached Jesus Christ in the gospel to the Jews. We read here in verse 54, "Now when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth against him." In verse 57, "They cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together upon him. And he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not hold this sin against them.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep. For they stoned him with stones." Could you do that, do you think? Forgive people who were actually picking up stones, and he was innocent. He was innocent. And they were murdering him. So, who do you think we should forgive? Just little sins or big sins? This is murdering of an innocent man, and he prayed for forgiveness for them, and he forgave them from his heart. He let them go. Could you do such a thing? Forgive those who sin against you. Whenever you sin, praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone. Well, Let's think about how Jesus did this. Remember, there was an adulterous woman in John 8. I mean, she actually slept with a man that wasn't her husband. Jesus says, neither do I condemn you. Go and don't sin again. Then there was that sinful woman in Luke 7, probably a prostitute, and she fell at Jesus' feet, and Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. Your faith is saved. You go in peace. Then you have that sinful man who is a paralytic in Matthew chapter 9. And Jesus says to him, take heart, my son. Your sins are forgiven. Take up your bed and go home. Isn't that beautiful? And then Jesus, on the cross, forgave everybody all their sins. Now we have to accept that by faith, right? But he died to reconcile man to God. All sins, and what did he say on the cross when they were murdering the righteous one, the author of life? What did he say? Father, forgive them. But they don't know what they're doing. So Jesus' heart was about forgiveness in any and all circumstances, not just the little sins or, you know, the kind of sinners like, oh no, I'm so sorry, I spilled coffee on your carpet. Don't worry about it. Not that kind of sin. Big sins, even murder, he forgave. So we are to do the same. Now, what's it mean to forgive someone, though? Does that mean that you should never seek justice for yourself? That you should be just a pushover?
No.
That you can't stand up for yourself or your rights? Or let's say you're in an abusive situation. Does that mean you can't then separate yourself from the person that's hurting you? No. What it means when we forgive is that God wants us to let it go in our hearts. Let that person off the hook. Cancel the debt. Open the prison door and say, I'm going to set you free. Even though you don't deserve it, I'm setting you free for grace's sake. Now, why does God want us to forgive people, even terrible sinners who harm us? Well, for one, he wants, in the hopes that maybe the relationship might be reconciled, right? Because guess what? Whenever we have sin, let's say I'm one person over here, there's another person over here. Whenever sin gets into a relationship, there's a huge gulf, like let's say this carpet right here. The only thing that can bridge the gap and bring these two back together again is not coffee, it's not flowers, it's not a trip, it's not a date, it's forgiveness. It's the only thing that's going to bring the two back together again. So there's a hope of forgiveness. But even if this other person doesn't want your forgiveness, and even if the relationship is maybe over, it'll at least set you free. And God wants your heart clean, free, light, happy, joyful. And let me tell you something, listen carefully. You cannot have those things if you don't forgive other people. Instead, what grows up is bitterness. And we need to make sure we weed out that garden. Who's a gardener in here? If you get a weed or a tree growing in your garden, you gotta pull it up before the roots spread out all over the place and it gets strong. And then that root of bitterness grows up and causes trouble. You gotta weed it out. You gotta get rid of unforgiveness and grudges or it's gonna destroy you. God wants you free. That's why he wants you to forgive. That's why he wants you to forgive. He wants you free. So, let me ask you a question then. Easy or hard? Is it easy or hard to forgive people? Now, a little easy thing, maybe like, oh, I'm so sorry, I spilled a Coke in your car. Well, maybe that wouldn't be easy for you, I don't know. But, you know, little things, okay, whatever, I didn't care about that anyway. But you know what? It's hard. It's hard to forgive sins because, number one, people really do hurt us. We live in a world of sin and sinners where we wound and they wound, and it's just a madhouse of violence. By words, by actions, by abandoning, by not being there, by being there. Lots of hurt, so it's hard to forgive. Another reason it's hard to forgive is because what's written on our hearts? The law of God. Now let me read to you about the law, the justice that God has written onto the hearts of men. Over here, read about it, Luke 24. Verse 17 says, he who kills a man shall be put to death. He who kills a beast shall make it good, life for life. When a man causes a disfigurement in his neighbor, as he is done, that should be done to him. Fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, as he disfigured a man, he shall be disfigured. So, isn't that the way it works with us? you know, in our hearts we think, well, you spoke hurtful words to me. I'm going to speak hurtful words back to you. Tit for tat, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. You know, you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you right back. You abandon me, I'll abandon you right back. You see that justice working? You can see it in kids in the playground, can't you? Haven't you ever seen that? Say amen. You've seen that, right? You know, a little kid on the playground pushes somebody over. He gets up, what's his first thing he wants to do? Push the other kid back. I strike you, you strike me. I say a bad word to you, you say a bad word back. It's justice. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Settle accounts. Make it all even again. Settle the debt. Settle the score. Get revenge. Well, of course, that's just kids, though. We're a lot more sophisticated, right? Well, adults were so beyond that. It's like the story of the Nebraska truck driver. Remember the story where, you know, it's late at night, and he pulls into this diner, and he gets, you know, middle of the night to keep him going. He has a hamburger and fries and a Coke. Well, at that moment, in come some, you know, Hell's Angels guys on bikes, big leather jackets, really tough. They come up to the guy, and one of them grabs his hamburger, starts eating it right in front of him. Another guy comes over and grabs his fry, eats it right in front of him. The other grabs his coat, takes a sip, and puts it down in front of him. Well, the man was nice and cool about it. He got up, paid his bill, and walked out. Well, the guy said to the waitress after that, said, well, he's not much of a man, is he? And the waitress, looking outside, says, and he's apparently not much of a truck driver either, because he just drove over three motorcycles in the parking lot. We're so sophisticated. In the way that we get revenge. And revenge is sweet. We want to settle accounts. And that's the law written on our hearts. That's what we want to do. Children and adults. And we say revenge is what? Sweet. But let me ask you a question. What's that do to you? If you want to settle accounts and settle the score and have someone pay their debt and exact the toll, tit for tat, eye for eye, what happens? Well, I met a guy once in a hospital. We were in a waiting room, and he had recently divorced his wife. And during the divorce, he'd gotten very angry. And I witnessed to him about Jesus. And he said, I believe in Jesus. You know, he's my Savior. And I said, well, what, have you forgiven your wife through the really harsh divorce? He says, oh, no. He says, my anger made me strong and made my head clear. I never give up my anger. I hold it against her. I said, well, don't you remember that in the Bible it says, if we don't forgive men their trespasses, neither will our Father forgive us our trespasses? He's like, don't care. It makes me strong. And he wouldn't let go of the debt. So what does this do to the guy? What do you think? Number one, it destroys any hope of reconciliation in the relationship. Because if sin breaks the relationship, the only thing that brings it together is forgiveness. The second thing it does is what? Destroys him. Destroys himself. Because what's living in his heart now? Is it light, clean, free, full of love? All those great things God wants? What is it? Bitterness.
What
hatred.
What about adultery, though?
Anger.
Still forgiven?
Yes.
And you would live with him?
No, not necessarily.
Okay.
You could forgive. That's a good question, Bonnie.
Okay.
It's possible to forgive adultery like Jesus did in John 8. But that doesn't necessarily mean you have to continue in an abusive relationship if it continues. Now, you can forgive and reconcile.
No.
But there is. Yep. So it destroys the relationship. Destroys yourself. Thirdly, it'll destroy your relationship with God if you hold on to these things and don't let people free. Because Jesus once again says, whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone. Because that way your heavenly Father will forgive you and can forgive you your trespasses. Remember that story Jesus told about the guy? There was a king, he had brought in a guy who owed him $1 million. Yeah, whatever. Big money. And the king forgave him entirely, the entire debt. And then he goes out over here to a guy he knows on the street and says, you owe me $20, pay up. And when the guy couldn't do it, he threw him in jail. Well, the word gets back around to the king over here. He says, wait a second, I just forgave that man $1 million. And here he is, not forgiving them their little debts. Call that man back in here. And the debt was put back on him. Jesus says, you don't forgive men the trespasses after I've given you the grace of the gospel. what's that profit? You're going to be right back in debt again. And so it can destroy your relationship with God, and you're making no room for God in your life, but then what is it making room for? Who? The devil. What do we read in Ephesians 4? Anybody memorize that one? Be angry, but don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. The word in the Greek is tapos. Opportunity, or do not give a place to the devil. It also can mean seaport. So if you picture the devil's out here sailing around, looking for a way into your life, looking. And finally, he looks over, wait a second, I think I see over here a person's not forgiving. A grudge. He's holding on to revenge. Perfect. He brings his ship right into your port, anchors, and starts wreaking havoc in your life. God says, I don't want these things for you. I want you free. So let it go. Cancel the debt. Let the person go free, that you can be free as well. And so, you know, it destroys to hold on to these things. So let me ask you a question right now. Is there anybody in your heart and your mind that you have in prison right now? Anybody that you've not forgiven? You know, some things are really hard, aren't they? I mean, little sins, okay. But what if someone abused you? Or an uncle raped you as a child and did it repeatedly? Or, you know, someone, a friend betrayed you? These kinds of things are very deep and very, very hard. But will you set them free? Is there anybody that needs to be let go out of prison today? Well, let's talk now how we can be free and how we can forgive when it's very hard. What's God say about that? Let me give you a couple here. Number one, God says in Proverbs 19, verse 11, he says, good sense makes a man slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. So it's your glory to overlook and pass over somebody else's sin. Jesus says, and I think it's Luke 6, he says, if you only do good to people who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that, right? If you only forgive people who are good and you don't forgive people who are evil, how are you better than the mafia? You know, Uncle Tartaglia or whatever it is. How are you better than he is? Because he's good to people who are good to him, and he's evil to people who are evil to him. God says, no, it's your glory as princes of heaven and princesses of the world above. It's your glory to pass over an offense. Because this is otherworldly. This means you're a son of your Father who is in heaven, because he sends his rain upon the just and upon the unjust. That's a great thing already, isn't it? You can be like God because he passes over transgressions. Secondly, it's the only hope of our relationship being healed. You know, take over here in Proverbs 17, verse 9. He who forgives an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter alienates a friend. So you can seek love. You can seek bringing a relationship back together again. Have you ever seen a relationship that's been like totally down in the dumps, in the trash, in the garbage dumpster, healed by forgiveness? You ever seen that? It happens. A father with his daughter, or a husband with his wife, or friends to friends who have been broken apart, even for years. If they finally forgive each other, they can come back together again. It's the hope of a new relationship. This is what God wants for you. And then also, let's say the relationship still doesn't work out after you forgive. It sets you free. Could you use that as an encouragement to forgive people today? That sets you free? Did you ever hear that story about the monkey that was in, you know, how they capture monkeys in Africa? They have a bag with like an apple in it, and then a little ring at the center. So that monkey can reach his hand in and grab the apple. But then as he takes that, it's too big, he can't escape. And then the hunter comes along and kills the monkey. But the monkey, all it has to do to be free is just let go of the apple. And his hand goes out, and it comes out to life. God says it's the same way with you right now. And don't think about this as a sermon. Think about this as conversion. All right? God is speaking to you right now. Let go, my people. Is there anybody in your jail? Is there anybody in prison? Is there anybody that you're holding on to? As bad as it is, yes, they deserve judgment for their sins. But you be free. You let it go and escape and live. And leave the judgment to me. Now, let me ask you a question. If you forgive somebody their sins, let them off scot-free. Does that mean the person is scot-free? Huh? With you there scot-free, and you know.
Vengeance is mine, I will
repay. Right, Romans chapter 12. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Let me do the exacting of the toll. I will bring the judgment in the right way. And he'll work to bring that person forgiveness, but if not, that person will be judged. So, but you be free, God says. I want you free. I want your hearts clean and free today. And you can be free right now. Who is it that's in prison? Who have you not forgiven? Who are you still binding in chains? God says, right now, let it go. Let them go. Let them escape from your power. What does it mean to forgive? Well, if you look over here in the words used in the Greek, the word is apaluo, which means to loose, to unbind, to let the person go free. And aphie means let the person go from your power, let him go free, let him escape. What does it mean to forgive? Does that mean to say you didn't really do anything bad? Is that what it really means? Ah, forgive and forget. It was nothing. No. Real forgiveness is this. Guess what? You did something wrong. It was an injustice. There's a real hurt here, and you are in debt to me. Acknowledge it. You are in my power, in that sense, in prison, and rightly so. But for the sake of grace, for the sake of love, for the sake of Jesus Christ, I open the prison door, and I let you go free. That I can be free, and hopefully you can be free too. Could you do that? You know, a lot of people have this wrong thing. I'm just going to forgive and forget, or it was nothing. No, acknowledge it was wrong. It was bad. It was horrible. But then say, even so, for grace's sake, and for freedom's sake, I let you go. I let you go. You're free. Who do you need to let go right now? Who has harmed you, or harmed your loved ones? Let them go, and leave the justice of it to God. Amen. Now, what's the real key, though, for forgiving people? I've saved the best for last. You know that, right? The best for last. Here we go. This is the one that always works, and this is the real power one. Colossians chapter 3. Paul says in verse 12 and following, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, and patience, forbearing one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as watch this. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. So what does that mean? What's the best way to forgive someone when it really hurts? As the Lord treated you and forgave, you now go do the same with them. How did God forgive you all your sins? How great were they? How gruesome? If you had compiled a book, an encyclopedia of sins, what did God do for you? He didn't put you in prison. He didn't hold the grudge. He didn't exact the toll and demand payment and settle accounts. What did he do? He says, for the sake of grace and for the sake of love and for the sake of freedom, I'll take it myself, and I'm going to open your prison doors for free. And I'm going to let you go so that you and I can be together again. I'm going to let you go for free. And now, as I've done to you, I want you to go and do the same thing for others. Let them go. Let them be free. Can you do that? How did God forgive you? Romans chapter 5 says, while we're enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Who did he forgive? Say it. Enemies. We were enemies. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans chapter 5. We were sinners. He forgave sinners. He forgave us before we asked. While we were still had nothing to do with him, he came, went to that cross and died for us. Titus chapter 3, we were foolish, disobedient, led astray, slain to the various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice, envy, hated by men, and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of deeds done by us in righteousness. In other words, he didn't forgive us because we, you know, tried to make amends or got stuff on our credit and tried to win him over before you did anything. He forgave you. And by the washing of regeneration and renewal in the Holy Spirit, so that we'd be justified by his grace and become heirs and hope of eternal life, the saying is sure. So think about that when you think about the next person who sinned against you, or let's say you were sinned against in your childhood, or raped or abandoned or forsaken or hurt. Think about it this way. Well, this person cheated on me, but didn't I cheat upon God? Well, as the Lord treated me, so let me treat this person. Well, maybe this person spoke really harsh words against me, but didn't I speak harsh words to God and Christ? And look what they did to me. Look at how this person beat me and hurt me or abandoned me. Well, didn't I beat and hurt and abandon God? But how did he treat me? He forgave me. He opened the prison door for free. He let me go. And God says, this is what I want for you. As I do to you, as the Lord has forgiven you, you also now go forgive. I set you free. You go set them free. And for free, you receive freely. So give freely. Can you do that? Can you do it right now? Pick somebody in your heart that has hurt you. If there's anybody still bound up in the dungeon of your heart, let him go right now. Say, as the Lord has forgiven me, because he did that for me, I'm going to do it for them in the same way so that you can be free. And guess what, guys? The whole Bible, the whole history of humanity is this. God has come to reconcile our relationship with him. And the whole reason Jesus came was to forgive our sins, so that we can come together with God again. And the whole history of us, ever since we've been saved, is this. God says, now that you're reconciled with me, go reconcile horizontally with each other. As I've done to you and given you grace and freedom, go set people free. You're free. You've sinned against me. You're free. You sinned against me terribly. You're free. And you. And guess what? What pervades and goes from horizon to horizon now is healing in relationships. Healing over here. And even if the relationship isn't healed, healing in your own hearts. It's bursting forth. So if you have trouble forgiving, keep forgiving. Whenever you stand praying, forgive. Keep cleaning it out. Get that gutter clean. Pour fresh water through it many times a day. It's eventually going to clean up. Corrie ten Boom, who was a Nazi prisoner and saw her own sister Betsy killed, one had trouble forgiving. She says, I forgive, but then, like a few minutes later, I'm angry again. You ever experienced that?
You forgive, but you couldn't forget.
Well, you can't forget. It's okay. But the Lutheran pastor she talked to said, it's sort of like the bell up here in our church tower. You know, the bellboy goes up there and gong, pulls on the rope. Gong, gong, and it's heard all across the village. He says, but if he just lets go of the rope, it's going to continue to go gong, gong, gong. And pretty soon, it's going to quiet down. Just keep forgiving, God says, and it's going to clean up. Keep on doing it. Last thing I'll say is this. If it's really hard, think about this example from Corrie ten Boom. She was, like I said, a Nazi prisoner, saw her own sister Betsy killed, wicked, cruel Nazi guards. After World War II, she was preaching the message of Jesus Christ and forgiveness. And her own guard came up to her afterwards, having heard her preach, and stood before her asking forgiveness. She said, I felt like such a hypocrite after preaching forgiveness to other people. I couldn't forgive this man. I remembered all his cruelty, basically destroying my life. And yet here he was. She said, oh, Lord, help. And she said, okay, Corrie, this isn't an emotion. It's just an act of the will. And she says, I can at least put my hand out. I can at least do that, can't I? She said, as she did so, she felt a current rush down through her arm, filled her body with the Holy Spirit. And they embraced, and she actually gave him a big hug. And she says, there we were, the former guard and the former prisoner, and we were together through forgiveness. Friends, there's power in forgiveness. There's power in a Christian. There's power in God forgiving us. There's power in us going out and forgiving other people to heal the world. So, let's go forth in joy. For in Christ we have the full redemption, the forgiveness of our sins, through his shed blood, and God says, as I, the King, have now forgiven you, go on out there and forgive other people in the same way. Let them go. Let them be free. In Jesus' name.